1400. The Laker Hockey Show is brought to you by the Antlers, Sioux Motors, Century 21, Barish's, Fingator Cleaners, Cooper Dental, Don Wilson Insurance, Marchetti Distributing, Parker Ace Hardware, Central Savings Bank, and War Memorial Hospital. Now let's head live to the Antlers for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All righty, good evening, everybody. We are back at the Antlers for another Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. I'm not sure if we've got a player coming in tonight or not, but we'll find that out here shortly. And, you know, this is getting old, talking about losing, so let's talk about, like, the Detroit Lions or something. They won again. So.
Well, it is. We were just talking a little Packer-Lions there before, so I know there were some Packer fans not too happy, but us Lions fans are feeling a little bit better, or at least, you know, a chance to get the playoffs finally, so... Yeah, that's a little good news.
Yeah, and how about those Tigers? They're making lots of trades.
I've not followed that at all. I'm Laker hockey, and well, that's my best area to talk about, even though it's not always enjoyable with the way this first half has gone.
No, it's not gone well, but you know something? We were thinking about it. We've been talking about it a lot. We kind of knew it was going to be a tough season when we went into it. This is a team that we struggled to score goals last year, the year before that. It's been tough to find offense here. And we lost Danny Radke and Colin Campbell. I was driving from down to Lansing area after the game on Saturday night listening to the Griffins game, and Colin Campbell scored his first professional goal in that game. They got beat, but he scored, and so he is playing. And, you know, we could be using a guy like that in the lineup right now for sure. But we knew going in it was going to be a little bit of a struggle offensively, defensively. We've got four, five, six freshmen playing every night. It's two freshman goaltenders. This isn't easy. And new coaching staff trying to teach new ways of doing things, kids trying to learn things that are different. It's not an easy task. It has not been good. We've been shut out six times in the first half of this season. In 20 games, we've been shut out six times. That's really, really tough. It puts us at the bottom in goals for in the country. Our penalty kill is now way down there along with the power play. These are things that are all being worked on every day in practice, yet we lose 5-2, 5-0 at Ferris State. It's difficult. It's no fun for anybody.
Well, it is. It's a challenge. And, you know, the credit I give, I think our captains and our upperclassmen leadership have done a really good job, because it could go south and bad really easily, but our guys have really worked hard. I mean, they're right in it and they're working. You know, Friday night's game, it's a one goal game. You know, it's a one goal game. We pull the goalie, they get the empty net goal. So I think it's, a little bit of a misleading score, and once again, some of that youth and inexperience, but we have a lead. We give up a goal 12 seconds after we score a goal, and you know, it's tough because we talk so much about managing the highs and the lows, and you know, being ready to play after a bad shift or a good shift, and then you give up a goal 12 seconds later. It's frustrating, you know, but it's a one goal game, and we're right there. You know, to me, Saturday, you know, a loss is difficult no matter what, but to me, it's almost a write off. It was our 20th game in the first half. We're the only team in the country to play 20 games in the first half. And, you know, scheduling wise, it's certainly something, we'll look at moving forward. I don't think it's doable to play 20 games and ask your players to try. Was up late and, getting sick all night, and Chatham didn't travel with the team. So, you know, I thought, we you could tell we ran out of steam. We didn't have the energy, the legs to go. And, we tried to spot Perfetto a couple shifts on D to just give our poor defensemen a break or two with what they are dealing with. But, we were a tired team when it came to Saturday. But Friday was a one goal game. You know, I thought we were right there and we had that lead late and weren't able to hold on to it like a lot of games. So, definitely a difficult end to a very difficult first half.
Yeah, it's a Christmas break period now. The guys are out of class. They are practicing. They practice today. They will practice tomorrow. And then you get them out of here tomorrow afternoon. And that's a break I think everybody needs right now. Players, coaches, broadcasters, the whole crew.
Yeah, well, again, and the wear and tear in the bodies, you know, and Rico Fatto was out today running some skill development. We ended up actually kind of splitting the team. It's always nice to keep things together, but because some of our key guys have played so many huge minutes, we kind of put a group out on the ice that have played a ton of hockey, those five defensemen for sure, and then those top lines there that have played power play, penalty kill, and just really beat up their bodies first half. So they had a little bit more of a lighter skate. And then the group who, some of the guys coming off injuries, coming off sickness, who didn't play both games, who haven't traveled all semester, they had a little bit more of a bigger skate, and just to work on conditioning and certainly skill as well. So, you know, I thought that went fine. Our guys really enjoy Rico coming out and working on that. And then you're seeing some of it. We're developing some offense. I thought Friday, you know, out grade 8 Ferris, you watch the game back, and we had more quality chances for than they did. The ability to finish and capitalize and bear down the net around the net hurt us a little bit. And CJ Mott certainly a part of that as well. But, you know, and then tomorrow, we'll get a good skate tomorrow. You know, we brought guys back really for two reasons. There's been a lot of times, a lot of years when you go down on at the finals and, you know, guys have their winter clothes on the bus and they jump off the bus with mom and dad and they're so not engaged in what we're trying to do. So we wanted to bring guys back. And then I think the break of 12, 14 days, you know, we're going down. We got a good test with Cornell and then Miami or Notre Dame. So we wanted to come back, get a little things accomplished and worked on back here before they got a break. They still get a pretty good break here. And yeah, guys are ready to get home, see mom and dad and, you know, shut it down for a little bit and, you know, get away from it and we'll come back refreshed and ready to get better.
Now, you mentioned Rico Fatta. I was going to talk a little bit about him tonight anyway, so we'll go into that right now. I think he's added a real dimension of skill training here that we need badly right now to work on, and he works on those things every Monday, if not more than one day a week. It was twice a week there for a while. I don't know if he's still in on Wednesday or not.
Oh, that was, yeah, some of the bye weeks. So, yeah, you know, we'd like to use him a little bit more when we can or as much as we can. It's funny, you know, you talk to guys, and they just love it. They come off, and, you know, you're really – you know, once we get into a Tuesday, Wednesday practice, it's so much about, you know, our structure and what we're trying to do. Certainly to start the practice, you have some tempo and some skill and some puck touches, but you really get into the structure part of it, and so there's not as much development. So our guys really enjoy. Really good job of bringing some different elements in, but I think it's been good for our team, and I think it'll pay dividends at some. Conditioning built in with the skill development side of it as well.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to think this team is not in good condition. I would disagree with that. I think they're in better condition than they've been at this point any time past. I think that you work harder at doing that sort of thing. I think when somebody says on Saturday night that the defense looks tired, that's because there are five of them trying to play the whole weekend, give or take Perfetto coming out a couple of shifts there. These kids got exhausted. I Chatham, I thought he did a great job considering he was very sick on Thursday and had to drive with Pete Aubrey to get to Ferris State, and then Harris got sick overnight and on Friday going into Saturday and couldn't even play Saturday. So you got 5D going there, and most of them are young guys. I thought they just got tired.
Yeah, well, anybody who thought we looked tired Saturday, there's no question we were. I mean, we were exhausted. 20 games in the first half with the travel we had, and Jimmy Roll was up all night throwing up as well on Friday night after he played his heart out on Friday as well. So we were a tired hockey team, no question about it. Like I said, I'm not putting too much stock into Saturday's performance. We looked worn out. We looked tired. But I agree. I think our conditioning level, we talked a lot about it early in the year, and it's taken huge strides and huge steps. You know, I think part of what we're seeing a little bit, I wish we had a little bit more depth. I think we try to rely on our top lines a little bit more than I wish we had to with the way we're trying to play. So you really need some good balance and some good depth to play the style we're trying to play and to be aggressive and to forecheck and get after it. And, you know, I think our depth's a little bit thinner than we'd like it to be. And, that catches up to you. Certainly late in the first half of the season or Saturday night game sometimes. But I thought Saturday night North Dakota was a great effort. We're right there with it. You know, Friday night Ferris State, we're right there. So I think our conditioning is much better. I don't think it's a major issue at that point, but certainly Saturday we were up against it at the end of a long semester.
Yeah, injuries have compounded things. The illness we mentioned here, we had guys who were sick on Saturday night and even on Friday trying to play this past weekend, and you can understand that being a problem. What's the latest on Zach Lesh and Jason Bird? They have upper body injuries. They have not played in a while now. It's going to take them a while to get back into game shape, I would think, after the time they've missed. And Pete Spratty's out indefinitely. He's got an upper body injury, too.
Yeah, well, typically when you hit the road, you bring one extra forward, one extra defenseman because you're allowed to travel with 22 guys. We didn't have an extra D-man to bring, so we brought two extra forwards, and that's just the reality we had in this trip. But both Birdie and Lesh are cleared for full contact tomorrow morning. Their first day cleared for full contact, so if they have have a good day or no setbacks, then they'll be healthy enough to travel down to Florida with us. So that's good. We'll have, I think, as close to a full contingent as we had in quite a while. Spratty's the one injury that won't be healthy, but I think beyond that, we're back to health as long as they get through, you know, one practice. And we won't have much competing tomorrow. It's going to be a pace day, a skill day, puck touches, shooting, and a good conditioning skate as well. But I don't expect our guys after finals week and a long semester to come out and battle.
Well, that's always kind of a worry, too. You worry about them going home on a break and eating everything in sight and coming back in worse shape than they were when they left. And that's a problem that every college hockey team and junior hockey team faces. Coaches kind of give them a word when they leave. You hope they do what they're supposed to do and they're ready to go. And the problem here is that we play a hockey game very soon after Christmas Day. You've actually got to get together the day after to get to Naples because you play on the 28th.
Yeah.
That's a Sunday night.
Yeah, you said it's a huge fear. You know, we've had exit meetings with all but three or four players. We'll finish those up tomorrow morning. So just a little first half. We've been able to have meetings with our players in 10-game segments, and this was obviously our second 10-game segment. So they were pretty good. They went well. I thought kids did a pretty good job of being honest in their assessment in their game and grading themselves and then having some feedback from the coaching staff. You know, with that, we've asked all our guys their plans for holidays. Most teams have a junior team at home that they can skate with or their old high school team. You know, some of our kids have to fly. You know, it's what, $25, $50 to check a bag these days. So one or two will leave their gear, and they say they have old stuff at home. So hopefully they're on the ice and doing those things. Certainly the bike and workout are minimum expectation. You know, not ideal. You know, I've got a wife and a kid, but we're going to practice Christmas night in Ann Arbor. So our guys traveling from wherever will meet up and practice at Yost at 7 p.m. Like you said, we play in the 28th, so it's critical we get a good skate. And that skate's a little bit of a write-off. Guys are traveling from all over, getting the holidays out of them a little bit. Then the 26th, we'll have a little bit better skate. Then the 27th down there, we'll skate as well. So it's, you know. It's a good time of year, obviously, to escape down there. And, you know, we've tried to build in. Like, you know, it's the record's not where it's want to be, but we're trying to do some things. We had a chance to participate. A girl named Addie's having some, you know, life-threatening illness and injury. And they came out Wednesday. We shot a little video for her to try to bring some holiday cheer to here. And so as disappointed as we are, as frustrated we are, you know, there are things out there, people facing a lot more challenging situations than we are. So we try to make sure our players know that. And again, nobody's happy, but it's a competitive environment to try to make this trip to Florida. And we've got an off day down there as well. So we're trying to find some good things to keep the team spirit up and to hopefully build into a brighter second half.
Yeah, a lot of people got confused on the weekend, too. We should mention that Pete Aubrey did leave on Saturday. He was there on the bench Friday night coaching with you and Rich. On Saturday, he elected to take the recruiting car. That was a part of the deal anyway, and he went off to see if he can find some more Lakers.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it. You know, most home weekends, we try to have both coaches home. You know, they can be, you don't get a lot of home games. So you want to, when you get a chance to be home, you want to be here. Sometimes it doesn't work out. There might be a showcase event or a kid you have to see, but while we're home, it's nice to give our wives a little bit of support and help and be around our children. But typically on the road, one coach will come with the team and the other coach typically goes recruiting. This situation, there weren't a ton of games we needed to see. And there was a kid that wasn't playing Friday that Coach Aubrey had a chance to go see. It was a lot easier to go from Big Rapids than either from back here or back to his home team. So it was a chance for Coach Aubrey to make a little side trip and go see a player and you know, get a little evaluation in while we were down that way.
Okay, very good. We're going to take our first break on the show tonight. We got a great crowd on hand. It's wonderful, the people who are still supporting us here, and we appreciate that. And we'll be back with more on the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we're back at the Antlers. We want to thank Kathy and Chris Sable here at the Antlers for playing host to this show every week. And we are having a little problem here when Damon's talking. It's not going out on the air here once in a while, but we'll stick with it and see if we get that cleared up technically here from the Antlers. But Damon, this has been obviously a tough half. We've been talking about that. Again, on Friday night, we saw a situation where we get a two-man advantage for a minute 26 seconds, and I think we had one shot on goal, and it was kind of a bad angle shot. We had a lot of trouble handling the puck and creating scoring angles to get a good shot away. And, you know, it's not like you work real hard in practice on a two-man advantage. That gets done a little bit, but not a lot. It's just unbelievable how we can't move the puck around a little more effectively than we do.
Well, the two-man advantages, you know, that falls on me. I think we've spent so much emphasis on the five-on-four and trying to be better on our five-on-four, which is obviously something you see a lot more, that we've not spent enough time on the five-on-three. I think it's our second or third situation. We've seen it all semester. So I think I've been so worried about to get our five-on-four some continuity or some life and some looks that we haven't spent enough time. So that falls on me. You know, I said certainly on our power play, I think our execution needs been better. We can go through some stretches. I thought North Dakota, one of our better weekends, you know, some good touches and some good movement. You know, but our execution definitely has to be better. But the 5-on-3, you know, I'll take responsibility. We haven't focused enough time on that, and we need to do that. But I think we're just so worried about trying to get our 5-on-4 fixed or clicking at a decent rate that we just haven't had the time we felt to work on that 5-on-3. So, you know, that'll fall on the coaching staff.
Yeah, and the other night in the game, especially on Saturday night, and it could be that we were just at the point then where we were getting frustrated with everything because we fell behind. We were down 3-0 fairly early in the second period. But it seemed like we had a lot of trouble entering the offensive zone. And there are times when we have that problem anyway. But we would try to stick handle in, get poke check. Try to pass it in, we wouldn't get the puck. One of the few guys who seemed to have some success getting deep was Austin McKay a few times. He would kind of flip it past their D and get to it first and body somebody or out-muscle somebody in the corner to try to make a play. But that seems to be a problem we really have, is getting the puck into the offensive zone and set up something to try to do just about anything.
One of the hardest parts of playing at Ferris is anytime you dump a puck, it's such a rounded rink and a small sheet, everything funnels right to the back of the net. So putting pucks to good area to retrieve them at that rink is difficult. When we talked to guys a couple times, we tried to switch up later in the game instead of chipping pucks and rimming pucks, because Mott got to everything and got to the back of the net. We wanted to go cross corner or even right on Mott. I thought he got a little overconfident in his puck handling ability and gave a couple away. So we did try to adjust that way. You know, Ferris has a very good mobile decor. If you look at their decor, there's not one of them, I think, over 5'11", either 5'9 to 5'10. Their mobility is really good. They play with great gap because they skate so well. And, you know, we tried to make it a big point of emphasis that we had to put pucks behind their heels. We wanted to chip pucks behind them and retrieve them. And I think once you get down a little bit, guys start to force things, try to make things happen and get away from what we're trying to do. And I think that was very evident. And, you know, at that point, again, we're out of gas a little bit. But that's been we talked to a lot of guys today in our exit meetings. You know, stay with what we're trying to do. Even games, you know, we're tied or we're down one goal, all of a sudden we got guys who want to take the game into their own hand and really be, hey, I'm going to change this. But we're trying to say, you know, have faith in what we're doing, have belief in what we're doing, stay within our system. But it seems like a lot of nights, you know, we're down that one goal, and then one or two guys say, okay, I'm going to take this game over. And all of a sudden, you know, now you're down two or three because you're not playing the game the way you're supposed to be playing it.
Yeah, it's tough. It really is. And it's difficult not to be critical, and yet you're not necessarily trying to do that. I think there are very few players on this team who have not played in the first half of the season. Two of them who have really not seen any action are McGarryotis and Aaron Davis, the two extra goaltenders we have. And even Kevin Aldridge has not seen much action. I don't think Gordy Dayfield's been bad at all, and I understand what you're doing there because he probably gives you the best chance to win. A lot of people are critical right now, though. They want to know, why don't we see Pete? Why don't we see Aaron? Why don't we see Aldridge in goal again? He got one start maybe 5 games ago. He got kind of lit up and hasn't been seen since. Is there a chance here that those guys will get to see a chance to play here soon? Or is there even a worse chance, looking at it, that maybe they get tired of this and leave?
Well, there's always a chance of everything, and the thing is, we see them. We see them every day. You know, there's three of us. Sometimes there's two coaches there, but we do see them. You know, we evaluate every day. We try to put our team in every situation you can conceive of in a practice situation. Maybe not in one day, but throughout the course of the week. You got your special teams, small area games, warm-up shots. So we do see them. We evaluate our goaltenders on an everyday basis. We try to evaluate every single one of our players on an everyday basis. So, you know, we're big believers. I think you ask any coach, and you want your guys to earn it. And I know some people out there want to say, well, you know, put him in a game and see what he can do. He's a gamer or something like that. And I don't think there's any coach in the country that believes in a gamer. You know, you earn it. You get what you earn. And that goes, you know, for all of us in a business setting and a sports setting, you earn it through your practice habits or your performance on the job. And, we thought going into Ferris, it's certainly a team we felt like we could, and we needed to get WCHA team that's, you know, they're a mid-pack team this year. They're having their struggles. So we know how critical WCHA points are, and we wanted to put our best lineup on the ice. We've talked a lot about Gordy creating some separation for himself from the other goaltenders. And, you know, he gives us our best to win on most nights. We've got some non-conference games coming up. So, you know, here's a little bit of a chance maybe to get somebody some time. But we'll put our best players on the ice, the guys that we think give us the best chance to win in any given, and that's what we try to do. And you know, all our coaches have input on that. If one of the coaches want to come in and fight hard for a player that hasn't got their look, then they'll do that for sure. And sometimes they win that battle, sometimes they don't. But it's, you know, we're always evaluating, you know, and we're difficult on it. I think our players know where they sit. I think you know, we try to have a lot of dialogue with, especially those guys. You know, we probably spend too much time with some of those guys, and it takes away from some time we should spend with some other guys and letting them know where they stand, what we need from them, to give themselves a better opportunity to start or get a chance to play on the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's been really fair. I've been around long enough to know how things are going and how people are doing things. I just think we get a lot of comments from people. We get a lot of phone calls and emails, and I want to drop some of these things out. We've got a number of questions tonight from the fans who are here in the building. We appreciate that, too. Here's a good one right off the top. What's the attitude right now in the locker room? This team is 3-17. That's a pretty tough start. Is the attitude still good?
You know what? It's not bad. Like I said, that's where our seniors and our Eric Draplix and the junior assistant captain. But I think they've done a great job, you know, and nobody's happy. I mean, nobody's happy. It's not fun to come into the rink and have that hanging over your head. Nobody feels good about where we're at, but I think our senior class, our leaders, you know, Perth playing his best hockey of the year, really, really playing and skating and, you know, chipping in there. Domet, I think after probably what he'll say is a slow start as well. I think he put too much pressure on himself early to worry about the wins and losses and to be a leader versus just doing what he does. Domet's playing better hockey. You know, Chris came back after the long injury. It was really a shot in the arm and maybe tailed off a little bit here the last week or two. But I give our upperclassmen a lot of credit. I think they've done a good job leading this team and, you know, trying to maintain a positive attitude. So I don't think anybody's quitting that locker room. Frustrated, yes, not happy for sure. But they come every day and, you know, we're trying to make strides and trying to get better. And, you know, I still believe it's how you finish. It's where you finish. And, we'll have some things to show for it when it's all said and done.
Couple questions kind of go together here. They are from separate people, but they kind of are on the same subject, so I'll put them together. How many players can make the trip to Naples, and are there travel restrictions that would be lifted for a Christmas tournament? They kind of go together.
Yeah, during break you can. I mean, the unfortunate part of some of the transition is things weren't booked, so by the time we got to look at some of the prices in quotes for the holidays, you know, it was a pretty significant restriction on what we could do. So that's probably been one of the toughest things this year is we're not able to take the whole team. During a tournament time you can, or during a class break you can, but because of some of the financial realities when things came in and where price quotes were at, we're not able to this year. So you know, it's not ideal. It's hard to tell some kids they're not going to be able to do it, but that will be the reality this year for our team. But during a holiday, you can travel your whole team.
And there are some guys who won't make this trip, obviously, and they will be at home. They're home for Christmas,
yeah,
and
no
they
question.
Would come back to campus later on.
Right. Yeah, they'll get the chance to spend a little extra time at home with mom and dad, and they'll come back on the third or fourth when we'll report back for practice for Mankato.
All right, there's a question here about going to Naples, asking me if we're going. Yes, we are. We are going to be there. We made those arrangements in October, and we will be down there to broadcast both games that the Lakers play in. Cornell will be the first game. Let's talk about that for just a second. The Big Red are kind of struggling. I think they're about 10th in the ECAC. But I looked at statistics and everything today. They are an outstanding defensive team. They stop everybody. They're allowing the second fewest goals in the country, and their goaltenders, both of them, have save percentages above 95, which is incredible, and their goals against average is well below two, both of them. So this is a good, good defensive team. Not exactly what a team averaging less than a game game offensively needs to see right
now. Well, and that's a Mike Schaefer trademark. You know, they're going to be one of the, probably the biggest team we see. They're a huge team. They really take the tempo out of the game. So hopefully we can get our skating game going and be ready to challenge them with our team speed. But yeah, they're built on the defensive side of the puck. They really protect their net. They collapse well. They block shots. You know, very kind of an old style pro kind of approach to the game there. And Schaefer does a great job with that. So yeah, not exactly an ideal matchup for us with some of our offensive challenges that we have, but at the same time, if we can be great defensively, you know, like Saturday night in North Dakota, like Friday night in Ferris through all but 9 minutes of the game, then you know, we'll give ourselves a chance. But yeah, we got to find ways to be more dangerous around the net. And like I said, Friday, I don't know if for those of you who got a chance to watch the game, I mean, we probably had 8 to 10 grade A chances that just being a little bit stronger, a little bit more urgent, you know, fending off a checker or protecting our hands, they were there. They were there, and we showed them Saturday morning, but we've got to bear down and be stronger around that net.
Yeah, there were some great Friday night. I thought Stephen Perfetto played pretty well in both games. He created some things a few times, but boy, on that Friday night game, he had some great chances. Matt Johnson, Bryce Schmidt, there were a lot of opportunities around that. We just needed to fire it into an empty net a couple times, and we didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned some of those guys. You know, Schmidt is sitting there, I think, at 10th and overall in WCHA scoring.
Yeah, he is.
And what a year he's had so far, and credit to him and how hard he's worked. You know, really just a coach's dream. He comes every day ready to play and compete, and good for him. You know, I kind of went through our whole team today, all the returning guys, and I think all but four guys are on a better pace offensively than their previous year or their best year at Lake State. And, you know, even though we know we're offensively challenged, we don't have a lot of that past history to fall back on and that confidence level a little bit there. And then obviously two guys, that probably everybody knows have really fallen off this year. We need to find a way to get those guys going in the second half. And, you know, there's been some brighter play from one of them lately. And, you know, if we can get him on board, there's a big shot in the arm to get going there a little bit offensively.
Yeah. A few pro scouts in the building again on the weekend. I know ex-Laker coach Frank Anzalone was there on Friday night, and there were a couple. There was can't remember his name, but he's a Tampa Bay.
John Burkhardt.
Yep. And they're talking to Globke. They're talking to C.J. Mott. The free agents are the guys they're looking at. And, you know, Alex Globke's a good player. He just hasn't been able to get anything going this year, and yet he'll get in that offensive zone sometimes. He'll make two or three great moves, beat a couple guys, but he can't beat everybody, and he tries to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I think he's back to playing he's playing his best hockey of the season so far. You know, he got scratched one night. We're asking him to do some things defensively to be an even player at worst. You know, we don't want negative minus players. We want him to be even or plus on every given night. So, he's working hard. He's getting back to it. You know, defensively, it's been an adjustment, obviously, the way we play and what we're asking some guys to do, but he's getting there. He's getting some more looks. I like the fact that he's playing heavier. You know, he's been stronger on his feet as of late. I thought early in the year, he was doing a little bit too much reaching and ending up on the seat of his pants. So I think Al's playing his best hockey. You know, early on, you know, he's played with our best players. He's played in our top power plays, and obviously people watching, he's been taken away from some of those issues. Part of it's his skating. We wanted his skating and conditioning to be a little bit better as well, but he's getting there, and he's playing his best hockey, so we've really got to do a good job with him the second half to put him in situations to be successful. He's back on our, you know, one of our top two power play units and creating some offense. You know, I thought he had a couple plays this weekend. Ferris plays a little bit of a similar defensive zone system as we do. They're an outnumber and a surround type of team, so a big point of emphasis for us was to release it on first touch. You know, you can't have a forward in the offensive corner hold on to it and spin back because they get two or three guys outnumbering you. And I think Al, you know, he's a big, strong kid. He likes to hang on to it and have possession. But I give him credit. He had two or three of our best clips this weekend where in first touch he released it back to our D-men. We tried to go D-to-D with it and then find Al late coming in, and we had a couple of good looks from that. So, you know, he's doing some things that we're asking him to do. He's getting there. He's playing his best hockey. You know, like anybody, we still want more from him and everybody else. But hopefully we can get him you know, back to his old self here the second half.
All right, a couple more questions from the fans on hand here tonight at the Antlers. Did we use a new break system this weekend?
Not a new breakout system, no. You know, it's changed there because of the size of that ice sheet. You know, everything's so small, and it happens quick there. It's a real strange game when you go into there. And, you know, I was real concerned about our young D that I've never played there. Everything happens quick there. There's a short neutral zone. There's a a longer end zone, but the real rounded corners. So it's just a very different game. Every shot on net's very dangerous. We probably saw a little bit more chips and off the glass a little bit more than we like to do, but a lot of that's again predicated on the ice size there at Ferris.
Yeah, they're a tough team to play against. They build that team for that facility too. Mott handles the puck. Everything goes down behind their net. Their D gets back. They're very quick. Simone Denny and Ansel Meany and these kids are very fast skaters who can move the puck out in a hurry.
And I thought that gave us challenges. They're a good skating team overall. Their D-core's got great mobility. That's the way to undersize mobile D-core. But they skate well as a team, and we're not able to match that quite right now.
No, it was pretty evident on Saturday night. Not so much Friday. I thought you did a good job there hanging tough. Got a late goal second period out of Austin McKay. I would have thought, hey, here's the momentum going into the dressing room, 1-1 tie, and came out, scored the goal.
Yeah.
Short-handed, and
yep.
Then gave one up 12 seconds later.
Yeah, that's, again, just inexperience. It's been such a frustrating thing. I don't know if we got to take a timeout after every goal we score to say, hey, this next shift's a big one, but it seems, pretty consistent. We've had those big momentum swings where we're feeling good and got a little bit of life and energy, and then just not having the moxie or the poise to come back and answer with a big shift, and that was certainly a big one right there, a real letdown in that response.
Another question from our fans here tonight. What are your thoughts on the officiating this past weekend, and why did Mitch Nardi get a 10-minute misconduct on Friday night?
Mitch talked to the ref, which is certainly something that, is not acceptable from us. I thought our discipline as a team for the first semester or the first half has been very good. We had one issue earlier with a player that, he was told right away that it'll never happen again in a Laker uniform. Beyond that, I think our discipline's been good. So Mitch, just a little frustration got to him, but again, something that's not acceptable. Officiating's officiating. I don't really have much to say. When they do a great job, you don't really notice them. But it is what it is. That both teams got to do with it. I don't think we've gotten a lot of breaks through much of it. Some of the reviewed goals and plays, but it is what it is. It's hockey. It's officiating, and Mike Babcock's the same. I don't want to really talking about it because we got to play no matter who's out there.
Yeah, and I think the WCHA officiating, as bad as sometimes we think it is, it's probably better than what they have in the NCHC, and it's definitely better than Hockey East. So we'll take it.
Yeah, we've had Butch Musso and Pete Friesma quite a bit this first half, and I think they're a great tandem. I'll take them any night. And, I thought Keith Surcott did a pretty good job this weekend. Well, he's a Ferris alum, so you're always a little concerned about Keith's old feelings getting in there. But I thought Keith looked good, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll take it. We've got a question here. I'm not sure whether this refers to you or the coaching staff or the players or what, but how long does it take to unwind after a game?
About April or May or something like that. So, I think probably the sickest part is, it's tough, it's a grind. And, I talk about our families a lot, but I feel bad for my wife and our wives and our kids, the sacrifices and then the lack of attention and whatnot. But, probably the worst part is after a win. It's not even that enjoyable. Like, that's how kind of sick this thing is. You win a game and we're going to win a lot of games at some point here, but, you're just so worried about the next game, whether it's Friday night, you win and you got to get ready for Saturday, or you win Saturday and now you got ready for Michigan Tech or Manchester, whoever it is. And that's probably the real sickness there. But, this wears and tears. I mean, it's not easy, but, I'm a positive person and, we're going to be fine. And I don't know if that means it's 2 weeks from now or 2 years from now, but I'm confident in what we have, our staff, our team and our players and the leadership we're getting from our players. And again, nobody's sitting here liking where we're at and what we're doing, but I know we'll be fine. We got good kids. We're going to bring more good kids in, and we're going to do it the right way here. And we just appreciate everybody's support and the crowd here you mentioned. And I like it. We like being here. We like what we have, and we like what we have to offer. I think when we bring kids up and our current kids, the pride in that jersey, the history in that jersey is something special. And we'll restore it. I promise you that.
All right. Well, you've got some good fans here tonight who agree with you, too, and they support you. The last man here, it's a straight-up comment. Although this team's struggling, a lot of us like what we see with our new coaching staff. It will happen. We're behind you.
Well, we appreciate it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, we'll be fine. We've got the blueprint, and we'll get there. No question about it.
All right. We're going to take our second break on the show tonight. We'll be back. We'll talk more hockey and recruiting and all that sort of thing right after this on ESPN 1400.
1400.
Okay, we're back for our third segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight, live from the Antlers. And Chris Sable's not here. He usually joins us and talks about things that are going on at the Antlers. They do have Santa in here this Saturday. If you've got kids and you want to bring them down, certainly do that. That starts in the morning here, and you could have lunch and have a good time. Damon, let's get back to talking Laker hockey here. One of the things that concerns a lot of people when they take a look at the standings right now in the WCHA, you're trying to grab a playoff spot. We're no worse off right now than we were last year when we finished the season. There's a lot of optimism there that we can get a playoff spot. It's going to probably come down to a battle between Anchorage, Huntsville, and Lake Superior State. The good news is we have a series at home in February with Huntsville. That'll be huge. We don't get to play Anchorage again. The schedule has been terrible. I don't know what, you and I have talked about that a little bit. We're going to try to fix that in the future, but it's so hard to get non-conference games at home. People don't want to come all the way to Sault Ste. Marie to play non-conference, but that's why we have this skewered schedule that we have this year with 20 away games and only 14 at home, but we'll try to fix that in the future. At least we can work on it. Coming up in the second half of the season, after this tournament in Naples, we go to Mankato. Home against Bemidji, the only time at home in the month of January. Then we go to Bowling Green, Bowling Green's playing really well right now. Chris Bergeron's got them at the, probably back to where they used to be 20 years ago. Then we play at Alaska, which is games to make that trip again. And then we've got home with UAH, which is very important. Then we got two games at Northern, and then we come home against Ferris State to finish the season. Now, somewhere in there are some weekends off too, because the Lakers have played 14 games. That's two more than almost everybody else in the league, and it's four more than three teams. So we're kind of up against it here. We got to get some wins, and you know that.
Well, no question. And backing up, you mentioned Chris isn't here. Our players are coming up to have a meal for the fans here, so hang around a little bit. Our players are coming up to eat, so you'll get a little say goodbye and happy holidays before the guys split out of time. So the little event here at Antlers tonight. But, and that's why, games at Ferris were so important this weekend. You know, looking at that, we know we're ahead of games and games in hand, and points are so critical, and that's why deciding a lineup every night is you wish, even going back to the start of our season, you wish it was a pro league and you had six exhibition games to figure out who can play where and what goalies get reps and get looks. But that's just not our reality. We're right into it, and every point's critical. So it's not going to get a whole lot easier. That trip to Mankato, that's a good hockey team. That's as good of a forward group as we've seen anywhere in the country. And we've got to make some hay when we can and steal some points down there, and then come home and hold serve a little bit more than we've been able to so far at this point.
Yeah, and it's going to be playing at Mankato. I mean, they came in here 3 weeks ago and shut us out twice. So going there is going to be very difficult. But it's why we play the game. We've got good kids on this team. We'll play hard. They'll give it what they've got. And if we can get any luck at all with the puck, maybe we can get a point or two out of that place.
Yeah, it'd be nice to appease the hockey gods and then get some of the bounces back, or the early reviewed goals that went against us, have them go for us, or some of those bounces and breaks. And and you make your own luck game. I would like to see us hungrier around the offensive net. We talked about that a little bit this week, and really bearing down. You're going to get cross-checked in the throat or slash in the hands, whatever it is, that's just part of the sacrifice you have to make to be dirty and greasy and heavy around the offensive net. And we've got to find ways to mimic that in practice a little bit, so that when we do get in those situations, we do bear down and we take advantage of our best scoring chances.
Yeah, maybe we got too many nice guys on the team. Maybe we need a couple of It's in the lineup here.
You can't all be milkers. I think that's fairly. You need some whiskey drinkers in that locker room, and we have some. We have some guys that are willing to pay the price and do those things.
It's been a good season for a couple guys in this team, and we talk about, we got a lot of freshmen in our lineup, and blah blah blah. That's why we're not playing as well as we are. But you got to give a lot of credit to James Roll. He is a even player right now in the plus minus, which is very difficult to do on a team that's losing as many games as the Lakers are and giving up as many goals as they are. He's, I think, been a real strong player for you in the first half of the season. And when he's healthy, Jason Bird's done a really good job too. I think he's second in freshman D right now.
Yeah, and Jimmy's leading all freshman D in scoring for the WCHA plays. Oh yeah, good kudos for those guys and a strong first half. Jason Bird's a guy who really came on for a little bit. He's only played 11 of 20 games. He's had two or three you know, different injuries, and it's too bad because his last, before he got hurt, he was really starting to play his best hockey. He's got an absolute cannon of a one-timer. We kind of finally found him off of that left one-timer side on one of the power play groups that he was getting kind of solidified there and comfortable there, and then another setback with an injury. But, you know, those two guys have done a good job, and, you know, that it bodes well for our second half where they're playing. And, you know, we got to get Draps going back to that freshman year level when he had some success, and, you know, and he gets a lot of credit. You know, he's really been a glue and anchor for mentoring these young deeper and playing big minutes. And, you know, he's a guy I thought came back and not the shape we wanted to be in, but now he's playing huge minutes and in every situation and really doing a good job on the back end of mentoring our young guys.
I think he's a guy that, you know, Eric Draplock's a good player. He's got skill. He can skate. He's not afraid to go in corners, make plays. He'll get it up by ice. I thought he did a good job at the state, especially on Friday night. And yet he gets a lot of criticism. I hear fans talk about how he gives the puck away or he gets caught up ice for something, you know, and that's going to happen to all hockey players. But I think overall, he's a very, very good player on this team.
You know what? He's going to be a great pro. Some of the breakout passes he makes are,
he's got skill.
Are freakish. I mean, he's, you know, he doesn't take a peek. He's got eyes in the back of the head, but he makes some absolutely unbelievable breakout passes and, you know, sometimes so good that our own guys aren't ready for him. But I think as you move up, you pro players who are a little bit more ready and able to handle some of those passes, he'll be better at that level because of that ability. So his ability to break puck out is at another level than most college hockey players. You know, like anybody, we're asking him to make some better decisions at times, but he's a guy that wants to help our team win. You know, he's got the ability to at times be at a different level than a lot of guys in college hockey, and he gets a little high risk occasionally because he wants to impact the game, but he's given everything he's got there and, again, done a very good job to anchor such a young back end.
Yeah, it's been a tough season for just about everybody. When you've won 3 games in the first half and you've played 20 games, and the 3 games you won, 2 of them were in overtime, and all of them were by 1 goal. That's a tough start. We are struggling to score goals, and that's something that let's turn the attention to recruiting for a second. We talk about that every week. I know that is something that's ongoing. We talk about it all the time. Obviously, Pete was out this past weekend looking at some players. We cannot get into names. We can't start naming people. We don't even want to talk where they're from, because when guys make verbal commitments, NCAA rules are that that's a verbal commitment. The guy could change his mind next week and be gone somewhere else. So we don't like to talk about it too much, but I know you're having some success there. I know there are kids who have committed verbally. We won't use their names. We won't even say where they're playing, but there's some pretty good hockey players who are committing right now.
Well, we hope so. I mean, you know, we're, like I said, we'll go anywhere. Pete and Rich have done a fantastic job. I mean, as the fans in this room know and the people listening get to know them, I mean, their ability to connect with kids and build relationships and identify talent, I mean, that's a big part. I think it's easy for most people to go into any rink and say, that's the best player and that's the second best player. You know, that's easy. It's finding that next wave or maybe a guy that's not a full ride guy, but he's a guy that helps you upgrade some areas. So they do a great job in all those areas. You know, they've worked hard. Like I said, I think people would be amazed if they saw our cell phone minutes and, you know, you think you're at home for the night relaxing, but you got 3-4 recruiting calls to make or texting with advisors or, you know, it's a silly kind of business that way, but they've done a good job. We've had a couple guys just recently give us a verbal commitment and, you know, one of them is just, you know, he might be our best skater next year, just an elite skater. And when you play Mankato, when you play North Dakota, going down to Ferris, you have to be able to skate. And, you know, that's something we're really looking to hit on our recruiting is that I can skate and play with great speed. And we've been able to do that a little bit. So yeah, I mean, we're excited. I think it's easy to like your guys, you know, when they're off playing their junior hockey and wherever they're at. But, you know, we think we've added some good pieces and we like some of our pieces returning. You know, there's some guys having some really good years in a difficult situation that are going to be really great pieces moving forward as well.
How do you, as a coaching staff, how do you emphasize to recruits what it is you're looking for them to do over the summer to come in here in great condition? I'm talking weight training because they got to be strong and just be in great condition so they can skate and take off right out of the gate. We had to play Michigan Tech right out of the gate this year. We had guys who weren't in shape to play.
Yeah, most guys, like Toronto guys, Vancouver guys, Minneapolis guys, Detroit guys, almost all those guys have a trainer or a group they go with these days. So most of those guys are pretty good. Now, some kids, you know, financially might not have the benefits where they might have to have summer work. And I give them a lot of credit because they work at their own bills and do those things. But a lot of our guys have a strength coach, a skating coach, a skill coach. A lot of them are working with some private trainers that way. And, you know, today's game, that's the way it is a little bit. Now you get to some outliers, some kids from some smaller areas and some non-traditional places, and they've got a little bit more of a challenge and critical. But I think you just talk about opportunity, where they need to be for them to come in. And, you know, again, some of these guys that we've got out here, they've got buddies here, teammates here. So, you know, if you have an older brother who's played or you're a mate from last year, they can really give you a heads up too about what it takes and how difficult it truly is to be ready physically to come in to play college hockey.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Is it kosher to have an Andrew Domet or Eric Draplock put in a phone call to so-and-so recruit coming from wherever and talk to him about, hey, listen, you got to, I'm going to be one of your leadership guys next year. We want you to do this, 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 and this, and be ready to go.
Well, yeah, and reaching out to strength conditioning coach and setting expectations. I mean, that's all part of the process. But like I said, it's such a small world now. Like, you know, our guys are just filtering in here, and, you know, Zach Lesh standing there, he's going to know most of the Minnesota guys we're talking with, or if any are committed. And summertime, they train at Fit Hockey together. And, you know, anybody from SAS, Domet will reach out to Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. So it's such a connected world. Like, it's funny when you go to our players and ask them about a guy, they all know each other. It's really kind of uncanny, but the hockey world is so small and interconnected that most of our guys have some connection, or even the guys who signed an NLI, they're probably already in a chat group with them or Facebook or whatever. So they're really connected, and yeah, they'll definitely give them a heads up about what it takes and what we're trying to do. And then we talk with our committed players, usually at least once every 2 weeks, we try to reach out and just say, how you doing? And we're not coaching them. We'll let their teams, wherever they're at, coach them and do what they need to do. But just say, you know, how was the weekend? How you doing? Hey, we saw this in a box score. Or, hey, this is what's going on. Or, hey, this was our weekend. So, you know, we've got a ton of interaction and trying to build those relationships. So when they get here, you know them well, you know their strengths and weaknesses, and they're prepared for what we're looking for.
You know, we talked about the flu and how that worries coaches, because that can go right through a team. We had that happen several years ago. We were in Buffalo at Canisius, and the entire team, with the exception of maybe Doug LaProde, Coach Rock, and Pat O'Neill, got the flu. And the guys who didn't matter if they got the flu didn't get it, and all the players had the flu. We had about 10 guys dressed for a game there, and it was incredible. We actually got a win, I believe, with that hitting us. But right now in the NHL, we see this mumps thing going around, and you wonder what, you know, this is a contagious disease, obviously, guys together, locker rooms, on a bench, all that sort of thing. And something like that can go right through not just the team, but a league.
Yeah, decimate you and what you're trying to do. So, you know, Matt does a good job with our guys. I'm always looking at him. Paul Prouchet, certainly that support staff is critical. And, you know, that's what happened. Kyle Chatham was the first to really come down with the symptoms. Actually, Jason Bird, some of his setbacks and his injury is probably flu-related now that we know what's going on. But because of that, we didn't want Chatham on the bus with us. He drove down separately with one of the coaches there to kind of contain that chaos a little bit, and then he roomed by himself. So we tripled up a room so that Chatham didn't spread around the team, and then somehow Jimmy got it. So I don't know what those guys are doing back in the dorms, but you know, hopefully the damage is kind of contained a little bit, and we'll come back fresh from Christmas and healthy and have a full team ready to go.
Yeah, I guess the other obvious question here before we get out of here tonight is you yourself and your coaching staff. You guys get a little bit of a break here. Do you have plans to leave and go visit family, or are you going to stay right here?
Well, Coach Mitro has it easy. This is home, and he gets to, you know, hang out in Sault Ste. Marie. I know Coach Aubrey's heading back east to be with his wife's family. My wife's family's over in Wisconsin, so we'll make a trip over there probably you know, a couple days before Christmas, spend 2-3 days there, and then we'll kind of drive down and around over to my parents and get a few hours with them on Christmas Day before practice hits that night. And, you know, maybe the good thing after Florida, we'll come back. The team as a team will come back New Year's Eve, and then the guys get 2 or 3 more days off before we meet back up here. So I know our Vancouver kids are kind of making plans to go with our Detroit kids or Toronto kids and run back and get a couple days to, you know, to be a college kid and to have some fun and take a little bit more of a break. So hopefully it goes well through that trip down to Florida.
And these guys are all out of class now. They've completed all their finals. I think that was done last week. Academically, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think so. You know, those things will sometimes what a player tells you and what you see from a professor don't always match up. So that can be interesting. But no, you know, we got a good group of kids. You know, they've done the right things away from the ice. you know, both academically and social settings. So I like the way they represent our program and our school. You know, we're not all going to have 4.0s, but I think we got a pretty good group overall there, and they do a good job. So I've not heard of any issues yet, and I better find out soon because we got to do those name changes on those flights. So hopefully you guys are taking care of business that way.
Alrighty, we got a flight coming up. The team will be playing in Naples right after Christmas. It is a Sunday-Monday. That'll be interesting right there, a Sunday night and a Monday night, and then we turn around and come back and get ready to go to Mankato.
Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be great. It's our kids are excited to get down there, get in the sun, and you know, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Like I said, we're not far. You know, we're not where we want to be, but we've got to get a way to find everybody on the same page for the whole night. And you know, I'm excited that you know, Lesh and Bird are healthy, and that makes it tough for the coaches to make some decisions there. And anytime you have tough decisions for the lineup, you're a better team for that. So there's a lot of excitement moving forward. Again, nobody's happy and you know, likes where we're at, but we're in it together and we'll through it, and we appreciate the support of our fans, and you know, we're excited. You know, there's been not nearly enough home hockey games, so that January dates can't come quick enough, but we appreciate their support, and certainly thank them, and wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we do have things coming up in the month of January. We've got Bemidji here midway month, and then we've got Huntsville here in February, and Ferris State in the month of March to end the season. We don't have that many more home games. We haven't had that many, but it's been a tough season, and Damon, you've done a great job with it. I thank you for being here every week, and the post games and the broadcasts and the pre-games and all the things that you do there to keep fans informed, and thanks to all you wonderful folks for being here tonight. For Carl and for Jimmy DeSano, who's engineering for us tonight, and all the folks here at the Antlers, Chris and Kathy, Bill Crawford saying Merry Christmas, everybody, and we'll talk to you from Naples.